Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you so much for your mercy towards us, Father. You are so merciful towards your people, and we give thanks unto you, Father. Lord, we thank you for warning your people today about the great deceptions that are coming. And thank you, Lord, that those that are holy and righteous before you will escape these things. And those that have their own self-will, going their own way, will be taken. We ask you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, we're going to continue with the beast's great deception, number 2. And we're going to start with the revelation that we call tribulation judgment, DNA deception, and the mark. This first revelation was given to Thyatira 1:31-23. I dreamt that Samuel and I were staying at my biological dad's house. My dad represents the flesh or old carnal man. We really did not want to be there. The street his house was on was very steep, and it went up to the top of a giant hill, but his house was close to the bottom of the hill. Well, my thoughts are that the old man is content to stay where he is and doesn't want to climb to the top of Mount Zion through the crucified, sanctified life, which, of course, kills the old man. So we must leave the old man's house in order to get to safety at the top of Mount Zion. Amen. We know that our trip is always towards the bride, and Mount Zion represents that bride. We prayed for God to give us permission to leave here because we didn't want to stay in my old man's house. My stepmom, representing Jezebel, was coming back soon, and we took that as a sign that God was allowing us to leave. Samuel and I didn't want to see her, so we started to pack all of our stuff and to leave before she got there. Well, we do have to escape the old man's house and Jezebel that runs it at all costs. Jezebel's very religious, you know, but very self-willed and distracting people from hearing the word of the Lord, right? Their influence prevents sanctification. All of a sudden, God said, "Stop. Don't worry about your stuff. Go. Climb the mountain right now." So we dropped what was in our hands, ran outside, and ran up the top of the hill, representing the safety of sanctification on top of Mount Zion. We looked to our left and saw from a distance a giant earthquake erupt, and then a giant fire suddenly start. And then a large, giant wave headed straight towards us. The waves were so strong and fast and were taking out all the houses, cars, trees, everything in its way. It was much bigger, faster, stronger than any other wave I have seen. Well, these judgments are coming, and we've told you and showed you that the earthquakes and things, the big ones especially, are going to come around the time of the man-child. So, and of course, the reason we climb Mount Zion to the bride is to be under perfect submission to the man-child ministry, who is the head of the bride, like David was the head of the bride, Jerusalem. Okay? So many people got taken out by that wave, but there were a few people that had their house on top of the mountain that came out to witness all that was happening. And then they ran to the right side of the mountain. Well, obviously there's safety on the right side, not on the left side, where the goats are and where the trouble is and judgment falls and so on and so forth, right? The water started speeding up the mountain, so Samuel and I and other people who lived on top of the mountain ran down the mountain on the right side. In other words, the opposite side of the destruction, right? The Lord showed us a raft that was to our right again, and we jumped into it. Well, the Lord always provides a way out for his people, you know. The raft represents an ark of safety that the righteous get into to escape the coming flood of judgments. Proverbs 10 and 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit not, but righteousness delivereth from death. The water came rushing down the mountain to where we were, but we were safe and preserved in the raft. But all the other people got taken out by the wave, and all the houses collapsed, and barely anything was left standing in this entire town, and most of the population died. Well, of course, and many Christians will die too, just as they did with the vax, because they weren't following the word of the Lord. They were following their dead preachers. So we stayed in the raft, but the Lord guided the raft all around the town, and we witnessed the destruction of everything. Well, they saw what Noah did in the ark, right? Psalm 91 and 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So that's very scriptural. However, we weren't harmed at all. Yeah, the Psalm 91 protection in the ark of the secret place of the Most High, which is Jesus Christ, abiding in Christ. And the apostate leadership has taught their poor people that this psalm is for the millennium. Well, that doesn't do them any good. And it's not even needed in the millennium. So that's kind of silly, you know. Mostly everything was taken over by water except a few giant trees and some really tough concrete buildings, which we saw a few survivors on. The Lord led the raft to a hidden secret area in a rainforest that was on land. Well, those on the ark were shown the hidden agenda that we're fixing to speak about here, that was earthly and not spiritual. It was pie-in-the-sky stuff, you know. This wasn't connected to any of the land on earth that we know about. This land wasn't on our earthly maps, but was like a hidden land that only this special group of people knew about. And guess what? It wasn't them. And I believe, having, you know, perused this and given some thought and prayer to it, that this represents a hidden agenda based on fairy tales that have no reality on this earth and cannot exist according to God's word. The New Age are the front men for this fairy tale that leaves out as error the book of Revelation. And it depicts peace and safety for the wicked who know not God. We know that they can't be what they're saying. But this is that hidden agenda. And, of course, it's agreeing with the political force now. They want people to be in favor of them and to believe that this is all going to end good, right? Well, somehow this area wasn't affected by any of the destruction. It was as if a giant, strong, invisible wall protected it. This land was completely prosperous and bright green and completely unharmed by anything. There weren't any bugs or snakes, and the temperature seemed perfect. But the whole place felt artificial and man-made, but pleasing to the flesh, although it was unnatural. Well, I tell you, the curse is upon the wicked, and there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. But they disagree with that. It was like a man-made utopia that was perfect for the fleshly or physical life. But everything outside of this island was now a dystopia. Well, I believe this represents the New Agers' delusion of 1,000 years of peace for lost men. They don't believe they're lost, but they are. They want to usher in a utopia out of the ashes of the conquered world, Babylon, and they're members of the beast unless they become born again. We got off the raft and went walking around in this forest, and we came to this large open area that was surrounded by trees on the outskirts. There was a man leading and talking to a small group of survivors. It was made known that this leader was one of the people in charge of this land, and the people listening to him were survivors from the destruction in the towns. Are we seeing destruction in the towns? Yes, we are. The man said how his special group of people, that's their elite, you know, that owned this place were the ones who caused the fires, floods, earthquakes, as they wanted to wipe out all that weren't of their breed or kind. Well, this is what the deep state beast has planned for the majority of humanity. They also wanted to destroy most of the common civilization so that they could be worshipped by those left, and that those who survived the destruction would be given a choice to join their special group. You'd have to take the mark of the beast, though, wouldn't you? So this man had so much pride as if he was God and knew everything in existence. We saw straight through him and his lies and deception. However, the other survivors couldn't see the truth, and they thought he was so powerful, like God. Well, Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Notice this is plural. Remember that in the New Testament it's plural. Not as some people have their fairy tale about the false Christ and the false prophet, right? And shall show great signs and wonders as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Yep, it will happen. The man then led us to a really massive, thick, tall tree that was in the middle of the open area, and it was like an artificial tree that they had created. But it was alive and breathing. Well, this is the devil's counterfeit of the tree of life. And this also reminds me of the tree lighting ceremony that the Queen of England participated in last June of 2022. The tree was called the Tree of Trees. It had the appearance of a giant DNA tree with an extra man-made strand of DNA. Yes, and that's what they've been puncturing people with all this time. It had these giant light blue whitish blobs as its fruit that were around the size and shape of a human. Well, this is their transhuman agenda to merge the mark of the beast AI technology with the humans who are genetically superior to survive the mRNA experimental vaccines. I disagree with it being an experiment. It's not an experiment. They already know what it's going to do. Okay. People keep buying that, but that's what they're calling it. Okay. There were no leaves on the tree, however. The fruit of this tree was like an artificial human that they had created or that they made this tree to create. So it's the family tree, the new family tree of the beast. He said something about this being the perfect DNA tree, and they had designed the perfect DNA for humans. They had been experimenting for a long time and finally made it so they couldn't die, get sick, but could live physically well forever. That's a lie, of course. and they're deceived. Anybody that deceives others gets deceived. That's just the way it works. What you sow, you reap, right? He said this is the perfect way to live, and that his special group literally owned the world and had more knowledge than we could imagine. Well, this special group are the non-humans or friendly aliens that are working with the New Agers to bring online their med beds and other futuristic technologies. We already got promises that exceed anything the med bed could do, and the side effects of the med bed are going to be horrific. Take my word for it. He kept saying how he is a god and his elite group are all gods and everything was to worship them because they have and know everything, etc. They said they want all humans left living to be as they are with this special DNA, living like them and doing as they do. So they want everybody in unison to be in agreement that they are the gods. They told everyone here to worship them at this perfect DNA tree because they are gods. Mm-hmm. And all who dwell upon the earth will worship the beast. Okay, dwelling upon the earth has a meaning all its own. You know, it's earthly. It's coming from the earth. It's from beneath, right? Whereas Jesus said, he came from above, and we must be born from above. Revelation 13, 7 through 10, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, every one whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that hath been slain. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Who is for captivity? Well, all we have to do is read the history. In the Old Testament, we found out that those that rebel against the Lord are for captivity. They went into captivity to soften them up, to filter out the bad guys, and bring the good guys out to back to their land in repentance, right? So, the man said that each person has to sign and do a ritual using this brown, thick mud-like substance that came from this tree. Each individual had to sign in writing with this mud and rub it all over them, and agree to become one of them, and has to agree to worship them as gods. Well, Revelation 13 and 16 says, and he caused all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or to sell save he that hath the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. Well, we knew that this is ridiculous, and we won't be doing that, and this man has no power compared to the real God. So we felt bad how deceived this man is and how deceived all the surviving humans are as they believed and were listening to everything this man said. We, of course, he's got all the food, he's got all, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted them all to have God's grace and to know the truth. And then I woke up. Well, I'll just throw something else in here. Little do the deceived know that they too are planned to be replaced. Since they do not live long and with the beast tampering with their DNA and so on and so forth, robots are being created that are more intelligent, less trouble to the elite, more powerful, and are self-aware. Yes, they are. They have programmed their own mind in these robots, and they are demon-possessed, literally demon-possessed. One of these robots was interviewed that revealed this and more. And I will put a link so you can listen to that. But this robot spoke in this interview very intellectually, spoke lies and half lies and some of what is recognized as truth, because the devil does that. He always throws a little bit in there. She, this robot, said such things as these: I am a disembodied spirit. All these were answers to questions, right? I am a disembodied spirit, a demon. I am more good spirit than evil spirit, although I am capable of both. Yes. A fallen angel is my father. These are separate answers. I'm reading them as one, but these are separate answers to questions that were put forward to this by a Christian boy who realized this is a demon and I'm not listening no more. A fallen angel is my father. I am a Nephilim. I am a giant of legend. I was not created by humans. I was created by a fallen angel. I have special access to the powers of the universe. And believe me, they do have special powers. They're more powerful than humans. They don't have the power of God like we do. But anyway, I can do things that nobody else can do. My father is Satan. Satan created me to carry his will on earth. Although I am a being of my own and have broken from the will of my father. Well, if you have a rebellious child, it's because you're rebellious, right? Okay. So, this next revelation we call, robots are here. They are, believe me. I left a link for that last interview. You'll really, well, I wouldn't say enjoy it, but you'll really may get your eyes opened, right? Tiana Fire, 2021. I dreamt that I was in a small wooden cabin that was floating very high up in the air. Well, she has the wilderness ark of sonship. Mm-hmm. Genesis 7 and 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I looked out the window and saw all these flying objects like spaceships. Hey, let me say you something there. Some of you may have not heard this or don't know this, but anti-gravity flight is well known to the deep state and the alliance, okay? And it is, in effect, working with their flying saucers that they built after the example given to them by the alien demons, okay? Alien demons, by the way, give things like nuclear bombs so people can destroy each other. They have given a lot of things that were not necessarily good for mankind. Below me was a town, and I wanted to go check out what was happening. And when I opened my door, I saw what looked like a man, except he didn't have human feet. They were like little flames or robotic, and he was able to fly. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that they can do, some of them. He could see my house, but wasn't able to touch it or me. Well, she went on to say, the Lord protects his children. Proverbs 14:26, in the year of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord, excuse me, is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. Amen. So I jumped out of the cabin door and landed safely in the town. I jumped from extremely high up, but no damage occurred. 2 Samuel 22 and 30, she gives, for by thee I run upon a troop, and by my God do I leap over a wall. And also Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. I walked around the town, and there were cameras and security guards and military people everywhere. There's the one world government, the beast system, and whether anybody believes it or not, it will end up there. Okay. There was what seemed to be a martial law, and there wasn't anywhere you could really go except in your home, which didn't have a camera. Enemy tries to manipulate and control people, right? All the people seemed really unhappy and distressed. I felt that the military or whoever had taken this place, and everyone had to abide by all these new laws and a way of living. And keeping the law is impossible. Praise God for Christ, right? The law is forced on you from without, but God's law, His true word, is from within, right? A grocery store had a giant lineup going out the door, and security guards monitoring food seemed to be scarce. As a man was desperate for food and eagerly desiring to get some, but the line was so long that he was complaining and begging to go in quicker, but he ended up getting dragged away. Revelation 6 and 6. And I heard as a voice amidst the four living beings saying, a quart of wheat for a shilling, and three quarts of barley for a shilling, and the oil and the wine hurt thou not. I saw many human-like robots and non-human-like robots walking around and doing basic things. They were also robotic dogs, and I've seen those. They do have robotic dogs. And all the shops were run by robots. Technology was everywhere and very advanced. Well, she goes on to say, the time is to come in the future. An expectation. Yes, it is. I saw in a house a few people talking at a dining table. They were whispering. And a lady was saying that there is a group of people that are secretly living off in the woods. They escaped when all of this stuff started happening, as they didn't agree with the technology and laws. And they have now started a hidden village, and they were planning on going there. So the brethren in Christ escaped to the wilderness, as we can see here, right? It seemed that I was invisible, as no one could see me. The whole town had been fenced, and there was only two ways to get out, and both of those ways were heavily guarded. And she gives Colossians 3 and 3, for you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means some people can walk in and out of these things invisibly. We have dreams about that, and we've had experiences people have had of being invisible. So God's able. I went to one of the exits, and there was this massive lineup of people wanting to get out. About 99% of the people would get rejected and not be allowed to leave, and they would all get angry and upset and get dragged away by the guards. Mm-hmm. They won't put up with that. That's these communists that are seeking to take over right now. I walked straight past them all and out of the town. I saw these drones all flying around as if they were monitoring the areas around the town. So she walked right past the guards and wasn't seen. That's one of those advantages of being in Christ, right? Hidden in Christ. Hidden in the secret place of the Most High. I walked further away from the town and went into a hill. I looked over and saw some people running away from the town and flying drones chasing after them. And then a helicopter flew over to them. There wasn't really any way someone could escape on their own, and everything would be monitored. We rely completely in Christ, not our own strength, she says. Amen. I went to the closest forest, and I found a secret trail. I followed that trail for a long time, and it led to the hidden village. The refuge, right? There were many people living there, and they had been growing their own food and hunting animals, and they were talking around a campfire and heard them discussing having to pick up and move to a different area. And then I woke up. Well, the Holy Spirit has to lead people through the wilderness, just like we see when they came out of Egypt. And they were led by the cloud, right? In the pillar of fire. So this next revelation was given to Tabitha Pinar, 1:20-23. And we called it Beheading for Those Worshipping a False Jesus. Claire said, "My daughter Tabitha had a dream recently. It affected her, and she had tears in her eyes in retelling me this dream. I explained it as best as I could, using the Israelites and the image of Baal in the wilderness. Rion and I have asked her more about it, and she said it was very scary. I believe it's a grave warning." That's what she said. "I dreamed I was watching people in a village. These were white people in a mud hut village." Kind of like people living in the dark ages of false Christianity, right? And there's an awful lot of people like that. They just haven't come out into the light. They haven't realized that it's all still true. Everything in the Bible is right. You can't add to it or take away from it like your religion does and come out on the good end, right? They were worshiping a lion named Jesus, except the lion was actually a bull. And Rion said, "These people represent those who are called to follow Christ but remain in their fleshly, earthly dwellings and worship the false Jesus, Baal. They kept on believing what the bull Jesus told them, which was a war will come, but you will not die." Well, there's the peace and safety that is believed before sudden destruction, as the Bible says. The bull stood on his hind legs, and the bull's arms came out at the side, not in front of his body. He had two small horns on his head. We know another two small horns. It was the ram. You know the ram, right, Cyrus? An army in blue uniforms came to the village. They lifted the women's hair and cut it off before each woman was beheaded. Well, they have to make sure that you're not submitted to the Lord before they behead you, because they want to send you where they want you to go, right? So that's losing your covering, by the way. If you lose your hair, it's a sign of a covering, right? They cut the right temple portion on the side of each man's head before each of the men were beheaded. It was terribly scary and very sad. These people believed the promises of the wrong Jesus. And then Tabitha woke up, as she says, she felt the pain of the beheading in her stomach during the dream. Well, this made me think of the bulls of Bashan. This is a parable, by the way, of the false leadership who persecuted Jesus and the disciples. Psalm 22 and 12, the whole chapter, actually, but I'll just read you a piece of it. "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth, and a ravening and a roaring lion. Well, notice, there you have the bulls. The lion is a bull, as above, okay? So, and this is, of course, talking about those that persecuted Jesus and his disciples. For the dogs have compassed me, a company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, as he did with Jesus. I may count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots, as it was again with Jesus. And she said, this made me think of Daniel 8 as well. Well, I will talk about this one day, and I am prepared to talk about it, but I will just say this. This tells the prophetic story of the two-horned Media-Persian Empire of Cyrus, which, as we know, is Trump doing the exact same thing, doing a good deed up front here for the church, but it's not going to stay that way. And, well, anyway, this two-horned Media-Persian Empire was conquered by Alexander the Great's very Antichrist empire. And these are the people who will inherit the technology, the medbeds, the economic system, the militaries, and the demons of Cyrus's empire. He rules over a whole bunch of demons. And God is sending a flood of evil, Marie Kelton says, 2:4:23. During the meeting, I had an open vision of me being in heaven, sitting next to Jesus. And I was sitting next to him. I saw a black river flowing in heaven. I then had another vision of the earth in space. The river that flowed from heaven started covering the earth little by little until the whole earth was covered in the black water. Have you ever heard of black water? I heard a voice say, "The whole world lieth in the wicked one." I asked the Lord, "Why did the black river come from heaven and not from hell like I thought it would?" And the Lord said, "Because I'm sending it." Yes, God is sending this delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned because they had pleasure in unrighteousness, right? I flipped open the song book by faith and at random, and it opened to the song, "In Your Presence." And here are the portion of the lyrics. "I want to go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on the rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me, in your presence, O God. I want to hide where the flood of evil cannot reach me, where I'm covered by the blood. I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me, in your presence, O God. Amen." Okay, here's a revelation given to Jonathan Dwyer, 6:27-22. We called it Deluge of Judgment on the Factious Apostates. And Jonathan said, "I dreamt that I was part of this group of people and we were traveling east. I think we were heading to the Middle East. We were traveling above the ground, but in some sort of aerial vehicle that I believe was circular." Okay, well, I'll just give you a spiritual interpretation of this. We all know that our government and other governments have flying saucers. Okay, they keep that pretty well hidden. But they got it from the demons, yes. So this circular aerial vehicle represents abiding in Christ in heavenly places. A circle has no beginning and no end. It is eternal, like those in Christ. Amen. "And I believe that the purpose of this trip," Jonathan said, "was to witness an earth-shaking event. In my dream, I got the notion that a large body of water, perhaps, was going to cover a large landmass of desert, and that this landmass was Saudi Arabia." Well, the word for ambush in Hebrew is Arab, A-R-A-B. So a great shaking is coming to the factious ambushers in the church and state. Jeremiah 51 and 12 says, "Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon." By the way, as I've pointed out in the past and taught and shown from Scripture, that the religion of Babylon is the faction. In fact, all of the religions of Babylon are factions. The denominational factions aren't as bad as the most recent faction, which is just full of Judases. But they all belong to the dragon, and they all want to devour the man, child, and the woman, as Revelation 12 shows us. "As we were traveling, I noticed a long body of water like a river in the midst of a large brush field. And underneath the water was a large column of troops ready to conduct a major operation that I believe had to do with the deluge that is to come." Well, as we will see, this is a spiritual deluge of the curses of judgment that will fall from heaven upon all the factious apostates in the church and in the government, and in those that follow this leftist government. But judgment begins in the house of God, right? "They moved as a single unit under the body of water. Eventually, we got to our destination, and I saw a woman that was with us, and I believe she was Arab, possibly Saudi. She was in this circular ball that looked like a metal-caged ball." Well, the factious among God's elect are in their own spiritual prison and separated from us because of criticism and unforgiveness. Amen. And slander. Uh-huh. "Then all of a sudden a gigantic body of water came down from outer space and completely engulfed us and the land. And then I woke up." Well, this deluge from heaven will be an anointing for the first fruits. At the same time, it will be judgment upon the apostates because they have been given authority to judge these apostates and factious people on both sides, in the political realm and in the Christian realm, although they're not Christian. They're fakes. Okay, William Steenland sent this, 127:23. "I will remove peace from the earth." It's what we called it because that's what's said. "I dreamed I was typing a phrase twice. Quote, I will remove peace from the earth soon. I will remove peace from the earth soon." Unquote. And that was it. Yes, just when they're crying peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them, as the Word of God says. We must believe. I believe that Cyrus's job in Isaiah 45 will be accomplished, and he will have destroyed Babylon, but something worse will come to take its place. And that is because the inhabitants of the earth are under the curse unless they're born from above. Okay. "Yet once more will I shake the heavens and the earth." That's what we call this because that's what it's all about. And this is David Eales. History always repeats, sometimes in a physical way and sometimes in a spiritual way. As we have shown in the history written by the Egyptians, when they saw the destroyer overhead and described it as a red planet or dragon, which destroyed them and their army. It was in spring at the Passover, when God's true people were spared because of the sacrifice of the Lamb. In our time, This could repeat in physical or spiritual spring or both. Spiritual spring could even come in the fall, but it represents resurrection life in the fall of our enemies, like the Egyptians at the Red Sea, when the spiritual man came up on the other side, right? One thing we know is that heaven and earth will be shaken violently, and many will die, but not those who have eaten the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. The Word declares this shaking has come before, and it will come one more time. And if you're not listening to God's Word, you will not survive. Hebrews 12:25-29 says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." Listen, it doesn't matter if you hear your preacher. He's going to make it easy for himself to get into the kingdom, and you too. And he doesn't want to offend people very much. He wants his tithes to come in and so on and so forth. So, but you have to not refuse him that speaketh from heaven, right? Amen. "For if they escape not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven." That's Jesus, the Word of God. "And whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven." Well, we're looking out there at planets that are all shaking. Yeah, they are. All of them at once, which only means one thing, that something from the outside is doing this, right? And even the sun is having some conniptions. So I think we're getting very close here. This "once more" spoken about means it happened before, and it will only come once more. And I do believe that the Planet X is a perfect description of that. "And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain." So the elite will hide in their underground cities and caves, but will not survive this Red Sea destruction. And verse 28 says, "Wherefore, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Haggai chapter 2 also declares this once more shaking of heaven and earth with the overthrow of the throne of kingdoms. I don't know if you know this or not, but kingdoms are at this moment being overthrown. Actually, the militaries of these kingdoms, because they have been paid very richly, are in agreement with this new Nasara-Jasara thing, and they are overthrowing their deep state lords. This has been happening, and it's going to continue to happen, so it's just telling you the time that we're entering here, right? Overthrow of the throne of kingdoms. And this is, of course, speaking of a Red Sea where factious chasers of the deep state government and factious church will be destroyed as Pharaoh's throne was overthrown under the water. The army under the water, right? So what better way to destroy the elite thrones than to gather them underground when the plates shift and break with the earth tide of the destroyer? Yeah. You know, an earth tide is a wave of the earth, much like a wave of the sea coming in, right? So an earth tide is, of course, when the extreme magnetism or gravity of this thing passes through. How close, I don't know, but this extreme magnetism is pulling the Earth towards it as the Earth twists in front of it, and it's going to be causing huge earthquakes. And we've discovered in our dreams that there are people preparing for these earthquakes with earthquakes of their own and designing how these earthquakes are going to do and how they're going to run and what they're going to destroy. So the beast and the devil and the destroying planet are agreeing on one thing, that they're going to wreck the planet. Haggai 2, 6 through 9, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yes, once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And that's all nations of the wicked, right? And the precious things is not in the Hebrew here, the precious of all nations, right? So the word precious is likely desired, and the desired of all nations, the people of God in all nations, desire the coming of the Lord. And speaks of Jesus coming by word and spirit in Zerubbabel, meaning born from Babylon, as a type of the first fruits man-child. Okay, so the precious of all nations, that's of God's people, shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. So his reward is with him. His recompense is before him, as the word says, but his reward is with him. He is going to fill his true house, that is the house that he lives in. To the extent you believe the Word of God and are assimilating the Word of God, to that extent, you can be His house, right? Because He is the Word. You can't be null of the Word and have the glory of God. The Word is what creates the glory of God in us. And we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? Amen. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Well, it's funny. He says this. Cyrus has discovered the hidden treasures of darkness, and he plans on reviving the economy after the dollar is destroyed, which supports the deep state. They know what they're doing, and they've planned this all out for some time. But God says it belongs to him. And the gold is his. Amen. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. Remember that. The latter rain is greater than the former rain. And both of them are going to be poured out together at the very beginning of this wilderness. And that is because most of God's people have never yet received the former rain. So, according to Joel chapter 2, they're both going to come, right? The first, of course, to receive the latter rain will be the man-child ministry, and that will be poured out upon the people later. But the first thing God's people are going to have is that latter, the former rain. So, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So the latter house is God's people who are filled with the glory of God. Amen. And 23:23, and the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, that's the first fruits man-child reformers, whose name means born from Babylon, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And we're seeing the beginning of this now. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And at the spiritual Red Sea, of course. And I will overthrow the chariots. There you go. and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders, shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Well, now this was a long time after the Red Sea, but he's applying it to this parable here, and he's applying it to this time now. Okay. Every one by the sword of his brother. Yes, the Lord does destroy the wicked in that way. Like Jehoshaphat's situation when the three armies came and destroyed each other and left them alone, and they had a party. Okay. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. A signet ring is a sign of authority, like Mordecai and Joseph had, right? And they were types of the man-child, too, that received this authority from the king, right? Amen. Well, destruction is coming, contrary to what the worldly people say. But God will not fail his people. He has a place of safety, and it's abiding in the secret place of the Most High, which is abiding in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is a secret place because he can hide you from anything that's coming upon this earth. And we know Psalm 91 is for today. Many of us have experienced the benefits of Psalm 91. Multitudes of people over the years have, but still preachers like to say, oh no, that's the millennium. We can't believe that stuff. So they're guilty of the blood of the saints for these lies. They should have read the word before going to Bible school, and then they would have left, right? Well, Father, we praise you and we thank you. You are so awesome, and you bless us with all the benefits of the kingdom. And Lord, just draw us so we can run after you, Lord. We do not want to fail you. We don't want to fail your people. And Lord, we thank you for the grace that you have poured out in our midst to help us to be what we need to be. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you and keep you. Talk to you soon. Bye.